This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and today I'm joined by Krista Sweckard. Krista is the computer science teacher in the elementary school and also in the high school. Hello, Krista. Thank you for joining me.
Sure, Kate.
We're going to tackle quite a complicated conversation here, and I don't think that there are any conclusive answers, but you have a unique insight here in the Johnson County School District about AI, artificial intelligence, and the platform that is developing. Some people may know it from the term chat GPT, mm-hmm. But AI is cropping up all over in our world, and I thought it would be a good idea for us just to kind of explore what it is, and have you encountered it? What is happening in your class with this?
So, Kate, so ChatGPT kind of made an appearance in, like, I think it was November of last year, and you know, we'd see little ads on Facebook. This ad was written by AI, and you'd start to see that whole evolution. And about right after Christmas, I had some kids talking to me about ChatGPT and what that meant for them as students and also for us as teachers. And at that point, it was something that they couldn't really access. This. They could maybe get on from their phones or from home. And so they didn't really have a whole lot of time to test it out.
So what exactly is it?
So the ChatGPT is, by definition, a text AI, basically. I guess I'm not going to give you the full definition, but it will take and write text. So anytime you've ever done something on a website where you've used a little chat bot, the premise started as that. So you fill it and you load it with answers that somebody, a customer, might need, or many of us are familiar with Alexa or Siri, and those were entry-level machine learning type of artificial intelligence that never really gained any traction and got bigger. They're still useful because you can ask them a question, you can get an answer. ChatGPT, on the other hand, is significantly more powerful. They've loaded that with the entire information pretty much on the internet.
And who is they?
So it's a company called OpenAI, mm-hmm. and I'm not 100% sure their whole backstory, but somebody told me that they were actually kind of having some, you know, problems with some of their stuff, so they needed to test it out in a live field, which they have. And since doing that, it's gone through 3 or 4 different renditions and updates, and the site traffic on it is unreal. You know, initially it was built to just chat with a person, so you would ask it a prompt and it would give you an answer. And then you know, it can write books, it can write poems, it can write stories, it can write music, it can do some the entry level stuff, gave you kind of entry-level computer programs, so it can write different programs in any different language, you know, JavaScript or C. So it kind of was like a genie, you know, you'd ask it a question and it would give you the answer, and which comes with a lot of
strings
sci-fi,
attached. Yes.
Sci-fi scariness.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it raises more questions than I think we have answers to. Certainly in an education setting, we know that students, not only in schools but also in colleges, are using platforms like ChatGPT, which is probably the best known right now, and I think they just came out with a new version as well, which is even more superior. But there's some questions about cheating, and then there are some questions about how it can enhance learning and education. Obviously, you don't want ChatGPT to get your degree for you, because then you don't know it, and you know, you're going to be in a job market where you actually don't know how to do the job that you were employed to do. You may have the grade, you may have the diploma, you may have the piece of paper, but you don't actually have the skill set.
Yeah.
And it's your shortcut to doing that. But it's not all bad, is it?
Yeah.
What kind of applications, because I think you've been using it a little bit mm-hmm. in school already,
yep.
Which may alarm some yeah. parents. But what are some of the maybe the more positive or useful mm-hmm. features that platforms like this one, not necessarily ChatGPT, yeah. but essentially what can
so
they enhance?
In the last month, there has been, I get a couple different newsletters on the, so because ChatGPT is built on an open source platform, you can use that technology to build other applications. So since that's been unrolled, there's a huge amount of other applications that are just like this that are being rolled out by developers, by novices.
Well, everybody wants to make some money off this.
And this is a technology that I think you mentioned the genie's out of the bottle. I mean, mm-hmm. we're not putting it back in. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to just kind of teach our kids. And so when it first started rolling out, I was getting articles. And so it would share that with the staff at the high school and say, okay, well, let's, you know, just so you know, this could be a possibility that your kids are using this. And so just kind of look. And a lot of us felt that, oh, we would be able to tell if our kids were turning in something that was
well,
created.
If somebody's homework suddenly improves to, you know, their spelling is all correct or their grammar is magically corrected or suddenly the math, the kid who struggled with math is suddenly a genius.
Yeah.
That would be a tell, but it's not quite as straightforward as that, is it?
It's really not. Well, the good thing is it's really not good at math. So the kids that are looking
for now.
For now. It probably, maybe in this new update, but it doesn't do math problems well because it doesn't follow the order of operations. It's just kind of tweaky that way because it's more text-based. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that I will tell you is, you know, it can spit out pretty much whatever you want. So you could say, I would like you to write me a poem in the fashion of, I don't know, some
Shakespeare sonnets.
And just whatever. And it will give you a poem and you can give it prompts so that it will give you that type or style or all
and I
of
believe
these
you
things.
Can set it to a grade level as
yes.
well.
And so then you could say, okay, well, that's too good. Please modify this so that it would sound like maybe an eighth grader wrote it, and then it would give you another version. And so you can have conversations for hours with this thing, and modify and change everything as you go. But the thing is that my stance on this, I guess, the whole time with anything is we need to look at, I read this article today about how what the author said, we need to start looking at education through tomorrow lenses.
Yes.
So that we are preparing kids. You know, we say all the time, we're preparing kids for the future, we're preparing kids for the future. But if we shut it off, we say, don't use it. They're only going to use it. I mean, it's just because that's their nature.
So I think that's the question mm-hmm. is, where is its application actually a benefit? Do you have any examples of how it actually works well?
Yeah. So I teach computer science at the high school, and I have 20 kids in each of my coding classes. And when we're all in the throes of writing programs, there's a lot of debugging that goes on, and I'm the one that runs around the room like a crazy person and debugs. And I had one of my students the other day, while I was on the other side of the room, he opened up ChatGPT and put his code in and said, okay, I'm having problems. I can't figure out why this isn't working and why this isn't running. Can you help me find the bug? And so it gave him a couple different options, and it said, this is what you might try. And so then he went back to his program, and he used it as a tutor. So that allowed him to I guess, clone me. Because then when he got stuck, he raised his hand and he said, I asked this, this is what it gave me, but I don't understand it. And, you know, where that human factor comes in is acknowledging what we get and what we don't get. And that's how you can take and harness that, no pun intended, harness the artificial intelligence so that you are able to learn from it. And so you become the driver then. It doesn't drive you. It doesn't tell you the answer. You learn from it. You're able to dig a little deeper. I've used it where I didn't understand artificial intelligence, so I thought I'd go to the source. You know, so I asked it, can you explain to me how ChatGPT works? And so it broke it all down, and I was like, that's great. But I am not an electrical engineer, and I don't study machine learning. So can you simplify that and break it down so that I could explain this to my students so we could have this conversation? And so it did. And then I said, okay, so how could I use this in my classroom? And it then generated me a whole list of different ideas on what I could do. For case in point, you know, using it as a tutor, using it as that second person in your room that can help with little things, having little competitions with your kids and saying, okay, so generate me some brainstorm. You know, my kids are always, they can't brainstorm ideas. And I'll say, make a list of 10 different game ideas you guys would like to build. And they sit there and stare at the white piece of paper and they get stuck. And so it'll generate ideas, which then gives them something to start with. You can also take the stuff you've already written and put it in and say, find the errors. And then, you know, in my opening, you know, can you suggest ways that I could make this a more powerful statement? You know, so you could use that to drive your own learning. You can also use it to study. So it's been loaded with a ton of information. So you could say, okay, we are using textbook B, and this week we're talking about, I don't know, the War of 1812. Okay, so can you give me 10, can you ask me 10 questions that would help me study for this chapter so I understand this content better? And so you can really start using it to, you're the one deciding what you want from it and not just being passively getting something from it.
So I think, you know, just to pause for a moment, some people might be surprised that you've encouraged kids to access an AI platform in a school setting. Mm-hmm. I think largely that's because, you know, we're concerned about cheating and, you know, what is authentic and what is, you know, being smart and using the tools appropriately for yourself and what is just having the computer do your homework, basically. So has there been any conversation about what schools will allow? I mean, we don't permit various different platforms available on Chromebooks and so on in our school district, but there are other, you know, basically a kid can go home or get on their phone or get off the school Wi-Fi and it's right there. So, you know, it's not necessarily a fail-safe solution. You're saying that we should learn how to use this wisely.
I think that the more we model appropriate use, I mean, so, you know, if you go back in time and, you know, as adults, we think of all these things. I mean, how many things have we encountered through our lifetime that have been huge technological advances? Okay, so then if you look at your kids, they have never not known a technological advance. All these things have always just been there. They've been at their hands. They have more information on their cell phones than we ever had access to. And if we don't teach them how to use it, they are subject to doing whatever they feel like.
Yes.
And, you know, and a lot of times people, adults, parents, they don't know and they default. Well, my kids know it best. I don't know technology. My kids know it. And instead of taking that approach, really having meaningful conversations with your kids about what they're doing. And so that's been my approach because I'm the computer science person. I have to kind of know these things, but it scares me because it's going to be a tool that they need to know. They need to know through that tomorrow lens, and I don't know who's going to teach them if we don't have a conversation with them.
Yes, and I think, you know, there is always the question of kind of, is this a tool that's going to be misused mm-hmm. and abused? But there is a much broader implication, which I don't think anybody really knows the answer to, which is what is going to happen to us mm-hmm. as humankind? Mm-hmm. You know, is it the fear is that it's going to take away all our jobs, mm-hmm. The structure of our society, that it is going to replace everything and we're just going to be almost defunct mm-hmm. In terms of our usefulness, and that not only will we not be working but and doing productive things, but these platforms in some ways are actually going to control us. Mm-hmm. And how do you discern what is AI and what is an authentic human mm-hmm. Output? Mm-hmm. I don't know where have we talked about that at all. You know, it's has huge implications for mm-hmm. education in terms of not only what we're teaching our kids to do and become, but also the tools in which we get them there. And I'm sure that there are many teachers who love the idea of having several of themselves mm-hmm. cloned in a classroom to help mm-hmm. students understand, you know, the kind of some of the things that they are struggling with, you yeah. know, to kind of explain it in a different way, to give them the time and attention for that. But the implications, you know, are also mm-hmm. nefarious.
Yeah. Well, and,
potentially.
And, you know, you look at, so let's just say Google or Bing. I mean, they have access to the world from there, and they are able to use that. And so, you know, I think that the one thing that sets all of this apart is I think that that's going to ultimately balance it off, is there needs to still be that human factor. And so, you know, there is that, oh my gosh, fear that we're going to be replaced. But having that human component, because no matter what we load any giant machine with, whatever we load that with, they still can't feel. They still can't have empathy. They can't, you know, they're able to give you what they're trained on. And yes, as we go along, it's probably going to get bigger and better. But I think that being the understanding how those things work and understanding, you know, how to work with those things will only make us better. So I look at ChatGPT as like Google on steroids, because what it did is it removed away all those 10,000 or 100 million different search requirements that just popped up on 75 pages. It just took that away from me, and it's simplifying. And it's paraphrasing that information. And then I can follow and go down the next platform and go into the next research option. I would caution people on, you know, that initial human guttural reaction of, oh my gosh, we're all going to be, I mean, it's going to be iRobots and we're all going to be, you know,
eating Cheetos on the
yeah.
couch. Because we don't need to do anything.
Or, you know, interacting with through the goggles on Meta. We're not going to do that. I don't believe that that's, I mean, and it could be naive of me, but I don't believe that's where we're headed. But I do really, truly encourage kids to understand how the technology that they're using works. Because if we all just blindly utilize it, because we do, I mean, I don't know how many listeners have a smartphone, or you have AI in your phone. It is tracking your every move. You don't know that, though. You auto-save all your bank login information. Who has access to that? Those are bigger, scarier things. You know, that whole cybersecurity component is almost scarier than the AI component, because, you know, we just assume that people have our best interests at heart. And so teaching young people how to use those things and how it works, so that they're cautious and not so frivolous with their information.
So just doing a quick little ask around of students, some have confessed that they're using ChatGPT and other similar platforms to do their homework for them. Can you detect that?
Yeah, so there are